All right, well, we need to head to the hotline because we have our next guest all lined up and ready to rock and roll. Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us. Adam, as always, a pleasure to have you on, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Andy, Matt, how you guys doing?
Doing well. Be a lot better in 45 minutes,
yeah,
right?
That's true, too.
As long as we're not going on the toll road, we don't have anywhere to go, but I'll be on that toll road tomorrow. So hopefully there's not nearly as much traffic out there when I'm headed out to Tiffin tomorrow.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you. Hopefully I don't need it tomorrow. Well, Adam, a lot to dive into today, from the Indy 500 to the Belmont Stakes to some Major League Baseball action tonight. But we begin with the Belmont Stakes. It's still a little bit early, but the early odds were released for the Belmont Stakes earlier this week. Any surprises that you saw on some of the early odds?
No, not really. I mean, I think War of Will deserves to be one of the top two favorites on the board after winning the Preakness. And, you know, a lot of people were kind of wondering, if War of Will doesn't get interfered with in the Kentucky Derby, are we talking about a potential Triple Crown winner here? I don't really think that's the case, but War of Will, you know, Mark Cass, the trainer, was pretty disappointed with the post draw up on the rail again for the Preakness. Had a great run, though, came out, won that one. So War of Will in the 4-1 range or so. Tacitus, who hit the board in third after the Kentucky Derby disqualification of Maximum Security, is the favorite. The one that kind of stands out to me a little bit, kind of interesting, is Game Winner at about 5.5-1 or so. You know, Game Winner was a speed horse that was thought to have a really good chance in the Kentucky Derby, kind of disappointed there, now comes back with the Belmont, and the Belmont's the long race where speed maybe doesn't matter as much as endurance does. I'll be curious to see if Game Winner, you know, if the odds kind of do move down as we get closer to the race.
Taking a look at, you know, just kind of like the general hype and the excitement surrounding this and how it affects it from a handicap perspective, you think that because of the way the Derby came to such a controversial finish, has that kind of sucked some of the air out of the Belmont Stakes to some degree?
Yeah, I think it has. I think we kind of saw that a little bit in the Preakness. It sort of sucked some of the energy out of that. And then even here in the Derby, you know, a lot of people wanted Maximum Security to run in the Belmont because owner Gary West has been running his mouth about this and that. He's been suing a bunch of people. He's been lawyering up. A lot of people wanted Maximum Security in this race so that West could kind of put his money where his mouth is with his horse and opted not to do it here. And, you know, we've got three, fresh shots here in this one that haven't run in the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness. So it's just one of those years where the, especially after Justify last year and American Pharoah in 2015, it's one of those years where the Triple Crown races have kind of been a disappointment overall.
Well, the Belmont Stakes, not the only race that we want to talk to you about today. And I know we get a lot of racing fans that do listen to the show. The Indy 500 is this weekend. Matt Douglas is excited. Are you an Indiana native? Is that safe to say?
I lived there for like 10 years, so I'll call it.
So, of course, the Indy 500 this weekend. There could be some really nasty weather. Well, what's the best handicapping advice you can give to those who are betting on this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, admittedly, this isn't one of my areas of expertise, but, you know, it's the Indy 500, so obviously everyone's kind of interested in it, interested in what's going on. And, you know, the one thing about this race is that it's run on an oval track at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. They had the Indy Grand Prix a couple of weeks ago. That's run largely on the road course that's on the infield. They do use the main straightaway as part of that road course circuit. But this is the first oval track race of the season. They've got one June 8th coming up at Texas Motor Speedway. But that's a big thing here. You know, we talk about golfers and how they just seem to play better at certain courses, putt better on different putting surfaces, stuff like that. When it comes to IndyCar and open wheel racing in general, some guys prefer road courses. Some guys prefer the ovals. So you kind of want to look for those guys that have had success at some of these oval speedway tracks, and those are the guys you want to key in on for the 500.
It'll be this Sunday, and again, it could be really, really interesting because there are some awful storms that are scheduled to roll through this weekend as well. All right, well, let's hope that we get all of the Major League Baseball games in tonight and through the weekend as well. Those nasty storms can certainly rear their ugly head and redirect some of these Major League Baseball games, but hopefully tonight we are in the clear. There's some interesting games on the docket. You like Tampa over the Indians tonight. Hard to dispute that, given how poorly the Indians have played of late. But why is it that you specifically like Tampa so much over the Tribe tonight?
Yeah, it's been real ugly for our boys here of late, and I don't really know when things start to turn around for them, but I really don't think that they're tonight. They face Blake Snell, and they've looked awful against pretty much any left-handed pitcher with a pulse this season. I assume Blake Snell still has a pulse. I haven't seen anything otherwise here today, but you know, he's a guy, good explosive fastball velocity, very good curveball, good secondary pitches. The Indians haven't hit anything this year, but they've especially been bad against breaking balls and off-speed pitches. Snell's got some very good ones. I mean, you look at Shane Bieber. You know, look, Shane Bieber is having a fantastic season. I don't want to take too much away from him from what he's done this year, but he has allowed a decent amount of hard contact that really hasn't come back to hurt him yet. His slugging percentage is .388 on the season. His expected slugging, according to StatCast, is .483. So he hasn't been hurt by that hard contact. Pitching in April with the cold weather here in Cleveland kind of helped him a little bit in that regard. You know, yeah, he just shut down Baltimore. A lot of people are going to shut down Baltimore. I just think that Bieber's in line for a little bit of regression, and I really don't see the Indians doing much against a guy like Blake Snell today, who's struck out 71 and only walked 12 this year.
Obviously bad news for Tribe fans because they have sunk into a four-game losing streak. And, you know, when you face a guy like Snell, your chances aren't all that great. So it'll be a tall order for the Tribe a little bit later on tonight. Well, Jake Junis gets the start for the Royals against the Yankees this evening. And, well, you think that the Yankees could light him up. Why is that?
Yeah, I think it's a really bad matchup for Jake Junis. And we'll see, you know, weather permitting, if they're able to get this game in. But, you know, when you look at the Yankees here in the season, they've made a lot of hard contact. They're hitting fastballs hard. They're hitting sliders hard. Those are the only two pitches that Jake Junis throws. Doesn't leave a whole lot to the imagination here. His changeup in use less than 5% of the time. So I think the Yankees make a lot of hard contact here tonight. Maybe the over could have wound up being a better look here in this game. But, you know, I'll take the Yankees here. They're going to have a bullpen game pretty much with Chad Green getting the start. Nestor Cortez is the bulk reliever. Then the bullpen after that. But I think they're going to knock Jake Junis all around the yard here. Junis does not get righties out. Just a very, very tough spot for the Kansas City right-hander tonight.
Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, you also picked another game, Blue Jays and Padres. Now, you pick something here I want to give you an opportunity to expand on. You pick a first five under at 4.5 runs in this game. Explain the concept and why you like that in this particular game.
Yeah, so one of the things that you can do when it comes to Major League Baseball is, you know, sort of like betting the first half or the second half in the NBA or in the NBA or in the NFL, something like that. You can bet the first five innings in baseball. So this is one of the things that I've tried to do a little bit more over the last 2 or 3 years because bullpens are just volatile. I mean, it's just kind of crazy what we're seeing. And especially this year, a lot of bullpens have been really, really bad. But in this game in particular, took a look at the first five under because San Diego has had a ton of problems scoring runs early in games, in particular against right-handed pitchers that throw good breaking balls. Trent Thornton, kind of a work in progress. The fastball is sort of average, but the curveball is really, really good. We've seen San Diego shut down by guys like Adam Wainwright, by guys like Jordan Lyles, by guys like Steven Strasburg. All of them throw really good right-handed curveballs. Thornton has one of those. So I think he's in a pretty decent spot here tonight against San Diego's offense. And then Joey Lucchese for San Diego. You know, one of the things I do like to look at here is I call it the unfamiliar lefty angle where, you know, we see it all the time. Teams struggle with left-handed pitchers. So they only see them 30% of the time. When they see a guy that they're not used to seeing, and Lucchese, one of those guys here for Toronto, it takes a time or two to get comfortable in the box to sort of figure out what a guy has. So I think I expect a low-scoring game here early on tonight. I figured I'd play the first five as opposed to the full game just for the third time through the order penalty or if that Toronto bullpen kind of gets out of whack a little bit.
Adam, I wanted to ask you about the NHL. St. Louis Blues have done what I think many thought was improbable, including Vegas. I think back in January when the Blues were in last place, there were some places that had them at 300-1 odds to win the Stanley Cup Finals. They're in the Stanley Cup Finals taking on the Boston Bruins. Is there a chance they can pull this improbable comeback?
I mean, I certainly think it's possible. I mean, you look at the way that they've played ever since they hired Craig Berube, and it's been very impressive. Jordan Binnington's been excellent here in the postseason. The problem for St. Louis is that it's one of those teams, one of those opponents in the Boston Bruins that does everything that they do just a little bit better. It's not a great matchup for St. Louis because it's going to be a very low-scoring series. I think Boston's a little bit deeper of a team. Tuukka Rask is playing out of his mind right now as well. Boston has home ice advantage. If St. Louis was playing sort of more of a freewheeling offensive style of team, maybe they'd have a better chance. But because it's one of those, sort of like that Spider-Man meme that's always on Twitter, where you've got Spider-Man pointing at himself, sort of like he's, you know, looking back at who he is. That's sort of what I see here for this game, or for this series, I should say, where the Blues and the Bruins are just too similar, and Boston's just a little bit better at everything than the Blues are. And, you know, hey, our thoughts up to those people in Boston that, you know, have gone so long without a title that I'm sure they're dying for this one.
Yeah, it's been, what, 110 days or something they posted on their billboard up there?
No, it's unfair is what it is, man.
It is,
I mean,
yeah.
We've got one since 64, and they're complaining that they're going 4 months without one. It's madness.
Must be hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
It's an incredibly spoiled fan base. There's no question about that.